WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The U.S. economy could be hit with billions of dollars in losses if United Auto Workers go on strike at midnight. Union President Sean Fain says the Big Three have upped their initial wage offers but rejected other demands. CBS's Chris Van Cleve is in Detroit.
The Auto Workers Union entered negotiations with Ford, General Motors, and Stellantis, seeking up to a 40% raise, a 32-hour work week, a return of pensions, and the reversing of concessions made during the Great Recession in 2008.
The union planning targeted walkouts at a small number of plants if negotiations do fall apart today. It would be the first time the unions walked out at all three companies at the same time. New Englanders are bracing for a weakening Hurricane Lee to make possible landfall along the coast this weekend. Last night, they got a taste of what may be to come when a likely tornado touched down in Gloucester, Rhode Island.
The sky got really dark and the winds started to blow ferociously. The trees were blowing back and forth. Branches were flying everywhere.
Winds are expected to ramp up in the Northeast tomorrow. Weather Channel meteorologist Stephanie Abrams says it would be a rare occurrence for a hurricane to hit one state.
The last hurricane to make landfall in Maine was Gerda in 1969.
Breaking news from Greenland. After several failed tries, that cruise ship is finally unstuck. Correspondent Cammie McCormick.
It was successfully pulled free by a fisheries vessel at high tide. The cruise ship and passengers are now headed to a port, and the passengers will be flown home. The cruise ship ran aground on Monday in the northeast of Greenland National Park. There were no injuries, but there were some reported COVID-19 cases.
With Congress in the midst of a budget showdown, President Biden will talk about dollars and cents at an appearance in Maryland today. Correspondent Linda Kenyon.
Jared Bernstein, who heads the Council of Economic Advisers, says the president will discuss how Bidenomics is working, while what he calls Maganomics is not.
He'll contrast his agenda with specific policies congressional Republicans have proposed and lay out what those policies would mean in concrete terms for the American people.
Lawmakers have just over 2 weeks to avoid a government shutdown. Retail sales were up more than expected in August. They rose 0.6% from July as higher gas prices boosted receipts at filling stations. Online sales flat. Set your stopwatch. 60 Minutes will become 90 Minutes for six episodes this fall when CBS airs NFL doubleheaders. Executive producer says the decision predates the Hollywood strikes that have left networks scrambling for more content. This is CBS News.
When you think of hiring, think of Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin lawmakers have agreed to settle allegations against two factory farms in the state for violating their pollution permits. The legislature's Joint Finance Committee approved two settlements unanimously, a $17,500 settlement with Northside Genetics LLC in Fenimore, and a $228,000 settlement with Stahl Brothers Dairy. The committee also approved a $940,000 settlement with Diddy and Milling Inc. from a November 2020 lawsuit. A Superior, Wisconsin man has been given the maximum sentence after being convicted of murdering and dismembering another man. According to a Northern News Now report, 37-year-old Jacob Johnson was sentenced to 40 years in prison this week for second-degree intentional murder and second-degree unintentional murder for the death of Ricky Balsimo. The sentencing judge found the dismemberment and concealment of Balsimo's body was sufficient to sentence beyond the normal 26 to 36 years guidelines. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
If you're ready to welcome fall, the Amory area is the place to celebrate the season during the Flannel and Fire Fall Festival. There's a corn maze, s'mores station, flannel dress-up contest, and the Apple River Quilt Guild show, too. It's fall-focused and has been for more than 74 years. The Flannel and Fire Fall Festival, Thursday through Sunday, September 14th to the 17th in Amory, picked as one of the 100 best small arts towns in America. More info at AmoryFallFestival.org. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
delicious Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens.
Today, I am talking to the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, my friend Truman McGee. From an environmentally friendly perspective, the fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste.
I am a cereal strawberry abuser. If you're a fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart because I will let you die.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Lobos, I Got Loaded, and I wanted to play that song because Steve Berlin today celebrating a birthday, born on this date in 1955. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show on this Thursday morning. We've got 8 minutes after 9 o'clock right now and 52 degrees in Amory. It is 44 degrees in Richland Center. And the next topic I want to talk about is water. Seems like that's a topic that keeps coming up in this program. What's more important than water? I guess you could say that air is more important, but there are some serious water issues going on in our state, around our state, and the Journal Sentinel has an interesting in-depth article today about the Trempealeau Lakes. Have you ever been to the Trempealeau Lakes? Have you ever tried to do some fishing there? It says here, in the headline, that 50 years ago, the Trempealeau Lakes were pristine. Now, algae carpets their surface. Can they be saved? Well, there is a local group out to save the lakes, if possible. Dateline Trempealeau, it says, when Barry Drazkowski moved his family cabin to the shores of Third Lake in Trempealeau in 1971, the water was crystal clear. Fish abounded, and so did anglers, intent on catching them. He recalled sitting on his front lawn and watching a steady stream of boats motor past. Today, The water is barely visible under thick mats of bright green algae. A few fishers still try their luck, but it's hard for a hook to pierce through. Nearby Second Lake, which has the same problem, looks more like a lawn than a body of water. Locals joke that you could walk your dog across it. Quote, "It's not like it used to be," Draskowski said. "It's changed a lot for us." These two lakes, plus another, First Lake, are part of what's known as the Trempealeau Lakes, located just south of the village of Trempealeau in far western Wisconsin. They've long been a prized natural resource in the region, beloved for fishing and recreation. Though many so-called lakes along the Mississippi River are just languid backwaters that connect to the river, these three are their own entity. They're spring-fed lakes from groundwater that filters down from higher altitudes. And right now, that is a big source of their problems. Those higher grounds are dominated by farmland and excess nitrogen from fertilizer and irrigation systems is leaking through the soil and ending up in the lakes, producing the perfect conditions for algae to bloom. Data from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources shows that nitrogen levels in Second Lake, for example, have tripled since the 1970s. Draskowski and other residents with a vested interest in improving the lakes are stepping up to try to help them. They formed a nonprofit group called Friends of Lake Trempealeau to convince area farmers to reduce nitrogen use. Bud Hams, who has a summer cottage near the lakes and chairs the group, said participants hope to bolster government efforts, which often lack funding, and demonstrate that the community cares about issues like these. Quote, "There's a vacuum in how these kinds of environmental issues can be addressed," Hams said. "Without grassroots community organizing groups to say, we have a problem here, and bringing people together and finding resources, these problems don't get solved," end quote. The farm fields just above the lakes, a 30-square-mile area known as the Trempealeau Terrace, are owned by about a dozen people and used for cash crops, especially corn. That land has always been agricultural, Draskowski said, but in the 1990s, producers turned to so-called pivot irrigation to maximize crop yields, which groundwater experts say can, in some cases, result in increased nitrogen leaching. The type of soil in the region doesn't help. It's sandy, which allows water and other nutrients to drain through more easily than in other types of soil. Trempealeau lies in one of the more susceptible areas in the state to groundwater nitrogen pollution, said Sean Giblin, a water quality specialist for the Department of Natural Resources who works in the Mississippi River region. And that area isn't alone. Nitrate is the most widespread contaminant of Wisconsin's groundwater, and a 2022 report from the Wisconsin Groundwater Coordinating Council said the contamination is increasing in extent and severity. Dozens of municipal water supply systems have had nitrate levels that exceed safe limits, according to the report, and about 10% of private wells exceed that standard too. In intensely agricultural areas, double or triple that many well samples exceed it, the report says. While some nitrate pollution in groundwater can come from septic systems and lawn fertilizers, an estimated 90% comes from agricultural sources. Repeated complaints about the condition of the three lakes gave rise to a study of their conditions. Giblin collected samples from six spots across each of the lakes during the summer of 2021 to measure nitrogen and phosphorus, along with several other parameters. He presented those results to area residents in early 2022, but as both he and Hams agreed, they didn't need data to know something was wrong. Trying to navigate the lakes to collect samples, Giblin recounted, was like trying to canoe over wet carpet. At the beginning of the study, he even witnessed something that he had seen only once before in his career, a whiting event, which happens when the pH of a water body is so high that calcium carbonate is produced, turning the water milky white. An overabundance of algae production can raise the pH. He said, quote, "It just shows you how out of sync things are down there," Giblin said. Luckily, the algae in the Trempealeau Lakes is not blue-green algae, which can be toxic to people and pets. Though that is a problem in the nearby Trempealeau National Wildlife Refuge. But it can have other effects on the environment, like depleting oxygen to the point that fish can't survive. And the sick-looking water drives people away from recreating there, a blow for the region's strong outdoor tourism economy. This group, Friends of Trempealeau Lake, it says Friends of Trempealeau Lake's leaders, including Hams and Vice Chair Todd Ondell, are taking a cautious approach to reaching out to farmers to discuss reducing nitrogen. Their aim is to find a way that farmers can cut back on nitrogen use while still producing successful crop yields, starting with those who are already interested in such strategies and then expanding as they build trust. Finger-pointing, Hams argued, not only doesn't work, but it is not fair. He said, quote, "We're not coming into this with any judgmental attitude. We have this problem, and we know that agriculture is one of the sources of the problem. Not because anyone has purposely been doing it," end quote. In late August, they met with their first producer, who farms about 3,000 acres of corn, soybeans, alfalfa, and other crops. The farmer spoke about what he's already doing to reduce nitrogen leaching, like cover cropping, and applying fertilizer more precisely. He also touched on challenges farmers face, like money to buy costly equipment, complex rules for government conservation programs, and weather unpredictability, among others. 18 minutes after 9 right now. Got to take a break. We'll get back to this after the break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes,
walk a mile in my shoes,
walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby.
You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap.
A little patchy fog possible this morning, but that should burn off by mid-morning. Otherwise, mostly sunny today. We'll get to 78 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 58. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and cooler with a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms and a high right around 70. Weekend looking good. Plenty of sunshine Saturday, Sunday with highs in the upper 60s to low 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. 21 minutes after 9 o'clock right now. And Amy Winehouse, You Know I'm No Good, born on this date in 1983, passed away 2011 at the age of 27. It seems to be an age that many singers, musicians pass away at over the years. Look that up if you haven't ever check that out before, but the list is long of popular singers and musicians that passed away at that age of 27. Hey, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. We've got 48 degrees in Eau Claire right now and 49 in Hayward. And just before the break, we were discussing this story from the Journal Sentinel about what's going on at the Trempealeau Lakes. And there is a group called the Friends of Trempealeau Lakes. They're trying to figure out a way to clean these lakes up. And as we mentioned, the lakes, the three lakes there, are covered in algae so thick that people say you can walk your dog across the lake. And in this story, they actually have pictures of frogs, or a picture of a frog sitting on top of the lake on top of the algae. So it's definitely thick enough to support the weight of the frog. And it makes it difficult for people that want to use the lakes for fishing and for recreating, as they say. Getting back to this story in the Journal Sentinel, it says here, the Friends of the Lakes, of Lake Trempealeau's, the Friends of the Lake will try to figure out how to address the problems, helping farmers find resources that can both help them stay profitable and lessen their environmental impact. Reducing nitrogen alone could have a big impact, Giblin explained, because curtailing one nutrient that leads to algae growth will slow its overall growth entirely. If the effort works, it could serve as a template for other environmental and agricultural partnerships across the state. Hams hopes that because the number of farmers involved is relatively small, they'll be able to find common ground and work together. Quote, this isn't something we're going to have solved by next year. This is a change of practice that will take some years to really see results, Hams said. But if we don't get started, we'll never be successful, end quote. In the meantime, the group has other plans, too. They want to raise enough money to conduct a small dredging project
in Second Lake, deepening the lake bottom about 9 feet near a fishing float to provide better habitat for the fish. That would also slow the proliferation of curly leaf pondweed, an invasive species that needs access to sunlight to feed its explosive growth. Their work will dovetail with an upcoming project by Trempealeau County's Department of Land Management, which received a roughly $11,000 grant from the DNR to develop a management plan for First and Second Lakes. The department will be able to assess the lake's historical water quality and identify problems and threats to the ecosystem, said Director Mike Kornman. Kornman said having a nonprofit group advocating for the health of the lakes could be a boon, particularly if they're able to engage everyone that uses, impacts, and cares about them. Giblin is also optimistic that their approach can work. Quote, "It's uplifting to see people band together to protect something. They recognize their communities really tied to these regionally important lakes, and they're doing something about it," he said. "I think they're going to be really successful." That piece by Madeline Heim in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel discussing the issue that's going on with the Trempealeau Lakes. And by the way, I should mention that this reporter, Madeline Heim, is a Report for America Corps reporter who writes about environmental issues in the Mississippi River watershed and across Wisconsin. And this Report for America Corps is an important organization putting reporters around the country, different locations, to help out with local journalism, which is one of the most important things that we can do to keep up on what's going on. Got 27 minutes after 9 o'clock right now. Going to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned into your local Civic Media radio station.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
CBS News Brief. United Auto Workers are ready to stage a targeted strike at midnight if contract negotiations with Detroit's Big Three break down before the deadline. Jasmine Hickman, union member and mom of two.
We don't want to break our company, but we also want to be paid for our fair wage.
A hurricane watch is in effect for Maine. A larger swath of the New England coast is under a tropical storm watch as a weakening Hurricane Lee approaches. CBS meteorologist David Parkinson.
Midday Saturday to late day Saturday is when the land landfall occurs, there's going to be gusty winds that stretch a large distance outside the center of the storms.
A luxury cruise ship stuck off Greenland's coast has since Monday is finally on the move. CBS's Cammie McCormick.
The MV Ocean Explorer was freed by a Greenland fisheries vessel at high tide. No injuries were reported, and the ship will head to a port for an inspection. The passengers will be flown home.
Company says several have COVID. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. The new Wisconsin Supreme Court heard arguments in the first criminal case of the new term yesterday. The case involved whether courts should use prior sexual assaults as evidence in sexual assault cases. A lower court ruled against admitting the prior sexual assault cases as evidence. Notably absent from the proceedings was newly elected Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz, but a member of her staff said he couldn't comment on her absence. Two Western Wisconsin hospitals have combined to create a new health system. According to Becker's Hospital Review, Memorial Medical Center in Ashland and Hayward Area Memorial Hospital and Water's Edge have combined to create a new health system called Tamarack Health. The system will also include a new specialty orthopedic clinic in Superior, Wisconsin. Operations of the hospitals will remain mostly the same, but the new health system could allow them to expand healthcare options. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Tap.
When I look
got my China girl. I could pretend nothing really meant too much when I look at my China girl.
Yes, China Girl, 937. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. And I wanted to play that song because it was on this date in 1984 at the very first MTV Video Music Awards that David Bowie won Video of the Year for the video for that song, China Girl, a song he actually co-wrote with Iggy Pop. And Iggy recorded it several years earlier, I think, around 1977. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. We've got 53 degrees in La Crosse right now and 44 degrees in Richland Center. And one thing we've been discussing today and oftentimes during this program is gerrymandering, right? We know that our state, Wisconsin, has among the most gerrymandered maps in the entire United States. That's why Republicans have such a grip on power in our states, even though Democrats receive more votes when it comes to state assembly. And one of the other states that has a serious gerrymandering issue is the state of Alabama. I have a story here from The Nation at thenation.com by Ellie Mistall, and he says that the future of the Voting Rights Act depends on Brett Kavanaugh. A new effort by Alabama to gut the Voting Rights Act was clearly inspired by a recent Brett Kavanaugh opinion. Now, the state of Alabama is appealing to the Supreme Court and Kavanaugh to help seal the deal. I'll give you a little bit of this so you understand what's going on in other areas around the country. This is by Ellie Mistall. He says, I regret to inform you that the future of the Voting Rights Act and the immediate question of whether Southern states can gerrymander away the political power of Black citizens now rests squarely on the shoulders of alleged attempted rapist, Brett Kavanaugh. That's because the state of Alabama's latest attempt to defy the 15th Amendment and the Supreme Court's own rulings is inspired by a decision Kavanaugh wrote that explicitly asked for plaintiffs to file a case that could help him kill the Voting Rights Act once and for all. At issue are Alabama's congressional district maps, which are, once again, racist. Alabama is about 26% black. That makes it the fifth blackest, in quotation marks, state as measured by percentage of population. The state has seven congressional seats, which suggests that two of the seven seats, or about 28%, should be majority black. But the state legislature redrew its congressional maps after the 2020 census and produced only one majority black district. They did this by cracking and packing, right? That's the same way that the Republicans in Wisconsin got to such a gerrymandered map, cracking and packing. They did this by cracking and packing the black people in the state. That is, by throwing as many black residents as they could into one district and then splitting up the rest so their voices would be drowned out in majority white districts. In 2021, a federal court ruled that Alabama's maps constituted an unconstitutional racial gerrymander. But after an emergency appeal to the Supreme Court, five of the conservative justices allowed the state to use those maps pending a full hearing by the court. Kavanaugh explained his vote by claiming that by the time the case got to the Supreme Court in February 2022, it would already be too close to the midterm elections in November of 2022 for the courts to do anything about it. One racist election cycle later, the Supreme Court ruled in June of this year that Alabama's maps were an unconstitutional racial gerrymander in violation of Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act and ordered the state to redraw its maps. The decision overturning Alabama's maps was 5-4. Chief Justice John Roberts joined the three liberals against Alabama, marking the first time that Roberts has ruled in favor of the Voting Rights Act in his entire time on the Supreme Court. The fifth vote was Kavanaugh's. Kavanaugh joined the majority opinion, but wrote separately to shop for a different case. He said that he would entertain an argument that Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act should not be extended indefinitely into the future, essentially arguing that racism has been defeated and thus the Voting Rights Act is no longer necessary. He said, however, that the people defending Alabama's maps didn't make that argument, so there was nothing he could do. His concurrence had all of the subtlety of a king pining for the assassination of Thomas Becket or Mike Pence. At the time, I wrote, again, this piece is by Ellie Mistall, I wrote that Kavanaugh will one day use just such a case to declare victory over racism. It's just a question of when. The Republicans of Alabama have taken Kavanaugh's opinion as an invitation to openly defy the Supreme Court's order. Alabama technically redrew its maps, but didn't make a second majority-minority district or anything close to it. Instead, it took one district that was 30% black and made it 40% black and called it a day. The state is not even pretending to heed the Supreme Court's ruling. Alabama Governor Kay Ivey, who signed the new maps into law, said, quote, "The legislature knows our state, our people, and our districts better than the federal courts or activist groups," end quote. I'm sure if Alabama could figure out a way to draw a majority white district in the shape of a middle finger, they would. Alabama's new maps were ruled unconstitutional this September by a federal district court, this time in a scathing 217-page unanimous decision which called out the state for its open defiance of a Supreme Court order. The district court appointed a special master to redraw the maps for Alabama. Since the state legislature seems unwilling to comply with the law, predictably, Alabama has appealed the ruling to the Supreme Court, which has not decided as of this writing, and this was written or posted today, September 14th, on whether to hear the case. If the case does hear, or I should say, if the court does hear the appeal, and to be clear, the court should not. It should simply let the ruling of the lower court stand instead of rewarding Alabama's petulance with another hearing. If the court does not hear the appeal, I'm not worried about John Roberts changing his vote. Famous last words, I know, but I have evidence for this. In 2016, the Supreme Court struck down a Texas law that severely limited access to abortions, back in the before times when pregnant people had constitutional rights. Roberts, a forced birth advocate, dissented from that opinion. Fast forward to 2020, and Louisiana was in front of the Supreme Court with essentially the same law the court struck down in 2016. All that had changed was that Anthony Kennedy, who was in the majority in 2016, had been replaced by Brett Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh did as expected and voted against abortion access, but Roberts flipped his vote and thus preserved abortion access. It's not that Roberts changed his mind about the underlying issue. It's that Roberts really didn't like the states defying a Supreme Court order. Roberts knows that states treating Supreme Court rulings as mere suggestions is bad for his business. Brett Kavanaugh is a different problem altogether. First of all, Alabama is making the argument that it must finalize its congressional maps by early October of this year in order to be ready for the 2024 federal elections. That is a ridiculous and arbitrary timeline, but one artificially created to suggest that there's no time to redraw the maps. Considering that Brett Kavanaugh has already allowed Alabama to use unconstitutionally racist maps for one election because he thought we were too close to voting season, there's every chance he'll do so again. But
the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. Call, text, or chat 988 to get connected to a trained Lifeline counselor. 988, here to support you. Sponsored by Wisconsin DHS.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
All of these things consistently come down to this: willingness of people to give up their agency and the willingness of Donald Trump and those who support him to leverage and abuse people's trust in them to further their own personal power and enrichment.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weeknights at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Yeah. Todd Albo would normally be sharing his dulcet tones with us, but you'll recall that last week, Todd was having issues with the cable company, with an internet connection. I'm now thinking, Todd Albo, did you break Spectrum? Are you responsible for this ESPN mess?
I seem to have broke everything else, so it wouldn't surprise me, no.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
A little patchy fog possible this morning, but that should burn off by mid-morning. Otherwise, mostly sunny today. We'll get to 78 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 58. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and cooler with a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms and a high right around 70. Weekend looking good. Plenty of sunshine Saturday, Sunday with highs in the upper 60s to low 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 9:53 and a half right now. We've got 55 degrees in La Crosse, and it's 47 degrees in Richland Center. And just before the break, we were discussing this story from The Nation by Ellie Mistal about another state that's dealing with some serious gerrymandering issues, just like we are here in Wisconsin. And the state is Alabama. And this story with a headline that says, "The future of the Voting Rights Act depends on ... Brett Kavanaugh." A new effort by Alabama to gut the Voting Rights Act was clearly inspired by a recent Brett Kavanaugh opinion Now the state is appealing to the Supreme Court and Kavanaugh to help seal the deal. And we're almost to the end of the story here. I just want to give you the remainder of this. And it says here, the question now is simply whether Brett Kavanaugh wants to kill the Voting Rights Act with this argument in a case where the state is in open revolt against a court order, or does he want to wait until some other state does the exact same thing without the stench of having previously lost the argument? A patient Supreme Court justice would realize they have a lifetime to do their work and wait for a case that wasn't brought with such obvious bad faith. But this is Brett Kavanaugh we're talking about, a man who has already shown he lacks the emotional temperament to be entrusted with lifetime power on the highest court in the land. One thing I've learned about racist white Southerners with political power, they never take electoral, constitutional, or military defeat as the end of the argument. The cause is never lost. They will defy, always, whatever rules or orders are in place that force them to chew with their mouths closed and be less racist. The question is always whether other white people will let them get away with it. Right now, that other white person is Brett freaking Kavanaugh. It's like finding out that the drunk driver who hit you is also the surgeon assigned to patch you up after the crash. That piece in The Nation from Ellie Mistall, the nation's justice correspondent and host of its legal podcast called Contempt of Court. He's also a best-selling author, writing a book called Allow Me to Retort, A Black Guy's Guide to the Constitution. And it'll be interesting to see what happens not only in Alabama, but here in our state as well with these gerrymandered maps now that Robin Voss says, oh, we want to have an independent group, a nonpartisan group, draw the new maps. Well, there's already two cases heading to our Supreme Court. Let's see what happens there. And we may have some updates on the maps as the day goes on. So make sure you stay tuned to your local civic media radio station. And we've run out of time for today. I want to thank you for tuning in. Hope you have a great day today. Do something nice for someone. And I'll see you tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock.
The journey was long. They sacrificed and they paid the price. So I can live this wonderful life, and I know this is where I belong. This is my home. This is where.
Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
100 degrees.
Ramaswamy literally said global climate change, human and affected climate change is a hoax.
Ron DeSantis effectively pivoted on the debate stage, said, I'm not going to answer your damn question because it will expose us as climate change denialists, which puts them in a minority, certainly with younger voters. Young people care about the future of this world, though.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On your local civic media radio station and on the app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.